Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Today, we're so glad that y'all are here, and just whether you're in the room with us today or whether you're online, I'm just thankful that you came to join us with the power of the Holy Spirit to worship our Lord and Savior today. What a great way to kick off the day with the baptism of Jacob, who comes to just further his faith and to further his walk in Christ. And so today's all about, once again, are you ready for a miracle? And I just think that even when we make a decision to be baptized, that's just one of the many miracles that go on in our lives that we really don't even recognize. And so we want to celebrate that today and get ready for whatever God's going to do in your life as well. So I'm just going to ask you those questions that we've talked about. Jacob, let me just tell you, when we talked this morning about baptism, about his understanding of baptism, if we could all have the understanding and knowledge that he has in his heart, man, the world would be a much better place. So I'm so proud of him for knowing that. And so, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
And do you put your whole trust in him, all of that you have, that you'll believe in his grace for your forgiveness of sins?
Yes.
And then will you, all the days of your life, from this day forward, will you follow him and will you help other people know him?
Yes, sir.
All right. Are you ready? Okay. That way. All right. Jacob Cain Galindo. Remember, when Jesus was baptized, he went into the water, and when he came back out, he heard his father saying how happy he was with him, how pleased he was with him. Today, I just want you to know, Jesus is super, super happy with you and super pleased with you. Not just because of this, but because of what's going on in your heart right now, okay? All right. So today, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What God has started in you long ago, I pray that it continues this day and evermore, and that it would grow in your heart, full of joy and full of passion for following him, for showing others who you are because of who Jesus is in you, to show the world that there is a Savior that's alive and well, and really, because of who he is, that your life will change and that others can be changed because of you too. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, I just want to continue a little bit dive back into the miracles of our lives. And are you ready for the miracle that God has in store for you? And last week, the worship team was singing talking about not just giant miracles, but talking about all the little miracles in our life. And that's a little bit where I want to land today, even though I don't think that any miracle is small. No miracle is insignificant or minute. I think there anything that comes from the Lord is beautiful and wonderful and magnificent. In fact, look to your right and say, "You're a miracle." Look, well, that's pathetic. I mean, look to your left and be excited and say, "You're a miracle." Okay, and because just as we are created, we are created in the image of God. Whether somebody believes in Jesus Christ or not, they still have eternity planted in their heart because they are made in the image of God himself. Okay, and so there is a miracle that God took a formless body and breathed life into it and created that body in hopes that body, that human that he gave a soul to, would turn back to him and love him as much as he loves them. And so that's a miracle unto itself. And so you can scan that QR code and get the notes today if you would like. And when you think about miracles, right off the bat, I know what you thought of is walking on water, the parting of the Red Sea, somebody being raised from the dead, but there's so much more than that. And that's what I want to dive into today for you to give you an idea. And we have a short scripture reading. It is only the whole second chapter of John. So Well, so I'll just read it after all. I wasn't going to, but since y'all are okay with it. No, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But just to give you some snippets out of the second chapter of John, because there's three things that happen in the second chapter of John to talk about these miracles that happen to us all in every way, every day. And what it really means to God, how much you mean to God, okay? And so what I want to do first is I just want to jump into this one little spot, John 2, 1 through 3, and then I'm going to skip down to John 2, 11. It says, "And so on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited and his disciples to the wedding. And when the wine gave out," okay, "and the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" Okay, now let me just tell you that this is a crisis of monumental proportions at any wedding. Okay, because let me tell you why it's a crisis of monumental proportions. And Jesus' mom knew that it was a crisis of monumental proportions. Because I know all of you beautiful women in the room love to go to weddings. And none of you go for the meal. And none of you go for the wine. And none of you go for the reception. But all of you beautiful men in the room, Jesus' mom knew why you went to the wedding. And when the wine ran out and the wedding wasn't over, she was really worried that this was going to be a catastrophe for the family of the bride, right? And so she wanted to make sure that the good wine had not run out for everybody. And so hear me, and hear me well, okay, is that what matters to you, I've said this all of my ministry and pretty much all of my life because I learned it at an early age. What matters to you matters to God. Everything. What matters to you matters to God. Now, what we need to learn in our lives and throughout our lives is the priority of what matters to us. And that's just a human thing that we need to do, okay? But it still matters. And so when the wine ran out for Jesus' mom to notice that and for her to be concerned, it wasn't just a cultural thing. I know that there's a lot of things that we can talk about this wedding in the Jewish culture, in Jesus' days, in biblical times. But I just want to get to the point that when she said, "Oh my goodness, we've run out of wine," it really did matter to her. And so therefore, when she brought it up to Jesus, it mattered to him. Now, you may be thinking of all the little bitty things in your life that you've never prayed for. You may be thinking about the things where you just didn't think you wanted to bother God with. Bother him with everything. He wants the communication. He wants to know. He wants your understanding. He wants your heart to pour out to him in all things, okay? And so you can have that relationship because that's where, just like if you have children or if you're in any relationship, small talk matters. If you just talked about the big things, then we would hardly ever communicate. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to be in this constant back and forth communication to always talk about what matters. And so Jesus cares in this first part of this scripture, Jesus cares about your natural life. And when I say your natural life, I mean just your everyday living, okay? Because I'm going to talk about supernatural in a moment, but right now, just your natural life. What car, what house, what money, what family, what friends, what school, what you're going to do on your vacation and what hobbies you have and who you're going to hang out with. And it just goes on and on and on and on. He cares, okay? And when it comes to this wedding, he cared because he didn't want there to be an embarrassment to the family. He didn't want there to be embarrassment to the bride and the groom because he just knew that this mattered. He knew that it mattered. Okay, and speaking of what matters to brides and grooms and to those that are invited to weddings and those that are invited to wedding showers and that kind of thing, let me just say also, just as a side note, the reason that they're really, when you think about you didn't want to offend everybody and you didn't want people to start leaving, just think about all the invitations that you have sent out and people didn't show up for. And all the effort and all the time you put into it. See, there's a relational piece going on there. Okay, this is not like it was a couple shower, by the way. Let me just talk about a couple shower for just a moment, if I may. See, somebody already said, no, don't. See, I know that y'all think that, ladies, I know that y'all think that couple showers are the most fantastic thing on the face of the planet. Would you please stop inviting the men to couple showers? I'm going to hear about that. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to hear about that. Okay. I heard, as I was talking through this week, somebody even responded to me. They're like, oh, my gosh, every time I get a wedding invitation in the mail, it's like an overdue bill. That was the guy that said that, by the way. Okay. And so, but seriously, I mean, it wasn't like it was a, and again, I'm not making light of what's big and what's important and small and not important to people, but a shower as opposed to the wedding. The feast, everything that was going on, that was important, and it was important to Jesus. So for you, when you think about what God is concerned about, He's concerned about you, and what you are concerned about, He is concerned about. So I want to hear you hear that, because the first miracle that Jesus performed, the first miracle that He enacted, the first miracle that came from Him connected to heaven was He turned water into wine. And not just the cheap wine, okay? Not the bottom shelf United wine, the behind the glass wine at Doc's Liquor Store, so I've been told. And so, I mean, the expensive, really good stuff, right? Because it wasn't that it just mattered. He wanted to show how much He cared, how much He was concerned about, how much it matters to you. And so when I pray, I have learned, I don't just pray for the bare minimum. I pray for out-of-the-ballpark home run stuff. Because if you don't ask, you don't get, right? And He doesn't always answer that, but He's always provided. He's always provided over and over and over again. Because look, this is not turning water into wine. This is not, this has no eternal value whatsoever. This is not raising Lazarus from the dead. This is not healing the blind or the crippled or casting out demons or walking on water. I mean, this is dinner. It's not even dinner. It's just a part of dinner, right? I mean, so it mattered. And so you should see right now that you matter and what you care about matters to God. And so when you communicate to Him, communicate what matters. Because there's one thing that will never, one miracle that will never happen for certain, I promise you, will never take place. It's the one you don't ask for. Macy, one time, I was thinking about it this morning when I was just thinking about that particular passage of Scripture. And it was, Macy was kind of having, she hasn't had very many meltdowns, but she was having a little meltdown. And I'm like, why are you crying? And she goes, because I know you won't let me go to this whatever it was. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I said, what are you talking about? And she explained to me this event and all this stuff. And I said, I mean, I know I'm getting old, but and I know I forget a lot, but did you ask me? And I said no. She goes, I know I didn't even ask because I knew you would say no. Right? How many prayers have you not prayed because you thought God would say no? How many miracles have you asked for that you thought were silly and so you didn't pray them, right? And in the grand scheme of what Macy was talking about, not that I didn't care, but I really didn't care. I'm like, please go. Go. Granted, your wish, whatever, go. Right? I mean, go. And sometimes I really think that's what that God just wants us to have that relationship and ask. And to be a part of that relationship with Him. Because remember, what concerns Jesus, what concerns you, concerns Christ, concerns God the Father. The Holy Spirit is already, Scripture says, interceding on our behalf. Already laying the foundation. Already laying the pathway for you to make your request known to God. And listen to this. Jesus, all the way back, I mean, Jesus knows what you're going through. One particular thing I thought of is, when we think about, well, you know, I'm going through this really hard time because someone has died and gone to heaven and I'm lonely or it's just heartbreaking. And I thought, Jesus understands that. I mean, Jesus had a mom and a dad, per se. There's some great theological stuff we could talk about there. But, I mean, He had Mary and Joseph. And we know that Joseph died at some point. I mean, Jesus knows what it is to lose an earthly father. He knows what it is to go through that. He knows what it is for a friend to die. He knows what it is for someone to get sick. He knows what it is. He knows. He cried. He laughed. Right? He did all of those things. He knows, and so he is connected to you. And here's why I want you to understand this. Here's why I want you to have this idea. Because even in Scripture, it tells us about this life, this natural life we have. The reason he wants us to communicate and ask is because he really does want us to enjoy, okay? Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. All things. Not just a few things. Not just those things that you think are high and holy and biblical, okay? All things. I mean, he wants me to enjoy the resources that he gives me, and he wants me to use them in a wise way, okay? But he wants me to enjoy, right? He doesn't want me to store up every penny that I own and put it in a bank and never use it, right? He wants me to enjoy that. He wants me to do ministry with him, but he also wants me to enjoy a new titanium mountain bike that's carbon, and I'm just kind of trying to work that in a little bit. Pastor Appreciation Month is in October. Talk to him, okay? Now, he has told me, Matt, you don't need a $10,000 bike. I'm like, I'm well aware I don't need a $10,000 bike. But he goes, but you can have a bike. You can go ride, you can do these things, and you can have a house, and you can have a vacation, and you can do, and you can eat, and you can enjoy, right? I mean, so just think about it. He wants us to enjoy. And then here's this other part, okay? And so I want to jump to what God and Jesus not just care about your natural, but cares about your supernatural, cares about your spiritual. And this idea comes out in the middle part of John chapter 2. Where he cleanses the temple, okay? Now, you may not think that that's a very caring thing, the way he does it, but it really is. It says, the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling ox and sheep and doves, and the money changer were seated at their tables, and he made a scourge of cords, okay? So for some of your translations, you can say he made a whip, okay? And he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the ox, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Jesus cares about your spiritual life. He cared about theirs. He cares about ours. Now think about this. He walks in. He sees what's going on. Okay. He sees that they've taken what Scripture said is supposed to be called a house of prayer. Okay, which includes the worship of God, which includes the offering to God, which includes the praises of God. Okay, it includes the teachings of God for them, the teachings of God and Christ for us. And he walks in. And he sees that they're making a profit. They're selling things to make as an offering, as a sacrifice. And they're not only are they selling. I mean, when I say they're making a profit, I mean they are making a profit. They're killing it. They're doing great things and for themselves. And so Jesus sees that, and he has time to think about this. He didn't just walk in and get mad and kick over the tables and tell everybody to leave. He has time to go sit somewhere. He has time to go somewhere and get some material to think through these things and make a whip or whatever this cord is that he puts together to make to drive them out. And what was he thinking in the time frame where he's weaving these cords together? What were the disciples thinking as they are watching him weave these cords together and he's getting ready to walk back in? I think what it is he's looking at us and he's going, how can I show them? How can I teach them? How can I advise them on what is best for them? How to really put into practice what I know is in their hearts. And sometimes it's tough love. Sometimes we have to be, you have to be hit on the back of the head with a 2x4 for you to really wake up and understand what God wants. And it's not about being comfortable. It's not about doing it your way. It's about doing it God's way. It's about following Christ and for Him to show us the way. And when we don't do it that way, to be disciplined enough, for Him to discipline us enough, or for us to hold each other accountable and discipline each other to move us back on the right track, to show us the way to go. See, He cares about not just our natural life, but He cares about our spiritual life as well. And so, what is it that they had let in to the temple? What is it that they had let in to the house of prayer? Greediness, selfishness, right? They turned it into a business. It was just a routine. Their heart wasn't in anymore. That He was driving them out. What also does it say? I think that in one particular passage of Scripture, He called them robbers. He drove out the robbers. Because they were really stealing from the people. They were robbing them. Okay? And when that happens, and you think about it for us today, you're like, well, that's great. That's great Scripture. That was in the temple that doesn't exist anymore and all that. Well, you're right, but what does exist as a temple today? You do. See, when He said that they're going to tear down the temple and then God will raise it again in 3 days, you are the raising. You are the new temple. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, not in a physical building where Jesus walks in and drives things out. And so in that this pure temple, right, this house of worship, this body of Christ, this place where the offerings take place from our heart towards Him and the worship and the praise comes from us towards Him, what have you let into your temple that He would drive out today? Ouch. What is it that you have substituted for the true worship of God and put in place your idols, put in place your mechanisms to make you feel better and to make you feel like you're connected to God instead of looking to Scripture, instead of looking to Him, instead of praying to Him? What is it that you have substituted? What have you let in? Bitterness, anger, deceit, selfishness, hurt, heartache, meanness, strife, discontent, unholiness, untruth, lies of Satan. Just keep going and keep going. What have you bought into that we need? That, see, they didn't ask Jesus to come back and drive them out, but He's asking us, will you just let me in? Will you allow me to come in? When you think about, are you ready for a miracle? Part of that need to have a miracle comes from the need to make space for a miracle. Comes for a need to make a place for Him. Do you have indecision? Do you have lack of direction? Do you have lust in your life? Do you have are you envious of other things? And whatever it is, I don't know. Whatever it might be, what do you need driven out? And then finally, what concerns Jesus should concern you. Okay, here's the last part. Remember, what concerns you concerns Jesus. And we should look at Jesus and say, Jesus, what breaks your heart? Where is your love? Where is your compassion? Where is your ministry? Where do I need to follow you? And where do I need to be doing ministry? And when you hear that word ministry, automatically you think of preachers, you think of pastors, you think of worship pastors, you think of children's pastors, you think of people that are, you know, in the church and paid by the church. No. I say it all the time, and I'll say it again, and I'll beg you not to fire me when I say this, is that the minute the church stopped being the church is when they started paying full-time pastors. It's because y'all just expect me to do it all. Or you expect Dallas to do it, or Ashley to do it. No, ministry is you. I'm just here to equip you. I'm just here to show you the way for you to go out and keep going. I'm just here to build you up, right? This is just part of what I do. And for you, ministry is not just to go out and evangelize. Ministry is to go out and be who God's called you to be as a child, as a daughter, as a son, right? As a husband, as a wife, as a neighbor, as a friend, as a stranger, as a part of the community, as the body of Christ, as an employer, as an employee, all the list of things I always say, right? All, whoever you are, a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or just whatever. See, that's where your ministry is. No offense, but there's only room for one of us up here every Sunday, and I just, it's not you. Right? We don't need everybody to be a full-time pastor. We need everybody to be a full-time minister. It's the difference. You need to be a minister wherever you are. And it might be this afternoon to your kids. It might be tomorrow when you walk in the door at work. It might be on August, whatever it is, when you go back to school. Teachers, oh my gosh. Teachers, ministers, huge ministers. Matter of fact, teachers have a greater audience than I could ever even imagine having. I mean, y'all just keep coming back time after time after time again. They get a whole new crop every year. Ministers. What is this idea about commitment? So let me read this to you. John 2, 23 through 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing. Did you see that? They were observing what he was doing. They saw the miracles. They saw all the things that were happening. I mean, this is not blasphemy. This is not me being funny. This is not me being disrespectful. Jesus walking through town is not what got their attention. Jesus walking through town and touching someone and them getting up and walking that they'd never seen walk before, that's what got their attention. The miracles got their attention. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them. For he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. What does all that say? That sounds like a very kind of a circular thing. See, what Jesus was saying is he cared about their commitment to him. For those that were for following him, and remember on Palm Sunday, they're waving their palm branches and they're throwing down their jackets and their cloaks and they're doing all the things and praising him because they think he's about to do something for them. They're seeing the miracle worker. They're seeing the gift giver. They're seeing the one that they want to change their life. They want him to change their lives. Derek talked about freedom. They wanted to be set free from tyranny, from military rule. And so they saw what they wanted from him. And so they were praising and they were worshiping and they were bowing down to him and they were talking about him and they were following him. They were running when they knew that he was somewhere because they couldn't wait to see what he was going to do. And then when he just didn't do it because it really wasn't why he was here, they all started leaving. And he knew it. He knew their heart, and he knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows all of our hearts. And he says right there, he goes, I'm not going to entrust myself to people who really don't believe in me and follow me for who I am, not for what I do. See, that's the miracle he's looking for inside of us is our response to him. And I'm just telling you that it really is a miracle. Or however big you want to make it. But if you just think that your faith is just something that you have come up with, no, our faith is a miracle. It was a seed planted within us, and it has grown, and it has grown, and it has grown. And when it gets tested like a tree in a storm, the only way trees get stronger is if the wind blows against them. The only way trees grow and get thick and big, and they can withstand the greatest storms when they're older, when they've been faithful, is to have those storms in their lives while they're growing. And they manage to be able to make it through those because of the strength that is within them, that has grown within them. See, that's us. Hear me, Lord, I'm not asking for testing. Amen, everybody, amen. We're not asking for trials. I'm not asking for persecution. I'm not asking for anything. But I know that when I do experience those things, it does make me stronger. And he's talking about, if you're just following me for the miracle, if you're just following me for the big show that goes on in people's lives, then I'm not entrusting myself to you. So your commitment matters. Jesus is not committing himself to them because they didn't commit themselves to him. So when you ask, when you think about that, see, it's this. This is the hard one today. That's the hard one for me. He doesn't trust surface commitment. He doesn't trust, this is the one everybody's going to write me about. He doesn't entrust himself in ministry to the C&E Christians. Everybody know what the C&E Christian is? Christmas and Easter. See, it's not that they're not saved. He's just like, let's focus on over here. Let's focus on these that are following me because I am God. Let's focus on these who are following me because they entrust themselves to me every day of their life. Let's pour into them because they're pouring into others. Not just to show up for who I am every once in a while because there's a great feast or there's great wine or there's a great picnic or there's, you know, whatever. But those who entrust themselves to me, because Hebrews 11:1 says this. Let me skip over to it. Now think about it. They entrusted themselves to what they saw. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Where are you? Where are you in your walk with Christ? Where are you in your relationship with Him? Are you following Him because you're just hoping for what you can get out of Him? But remember, He does care about what you care about, but it's not all about what we get. It's about the sacrifice. It's about the initial offering. When I asked Jacob this morning about why he wanted to be baptized, and he said, because, okay, first of all, I asked him, how do you know you're getting to heaven? And he said, because Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, died for the forgiveness of my sins. I went, wow. I bet 33% of y'all couldn't have that statement right out of your mouths. And then I said, so why do you want to be baptized? Because you're already saved. Do you think baptism is salvation? And we got to it. I said, well, it's not. I said, so then what is baptism? He said, because I want to show Jesus that I'm basically, in Matt's words, that I'm really committed to Him. Wow. How old is Jacob? Where is somebody? 10. 10 years old. And he's ready because he knows that the reason Jesus doesn't trust surface commitment is because it really isn't sufficient commitment. Somebody tweet that right now. Because if we could just buy into this, if we could just understand this, even as pastors and as worship leaders and Sunday school teachers and moms and dads, if we could just communicate that surface commitment is not sufficient commitment, man, all of our lives would change. All of our lives would change. Not just church, not just Christian lives, everybody's lives would change. Because that's what Jesus was all about. He was not about surface commitment. He was about deep-seated, real commitment. He was about not surface commitment, but He was about sacrificial commitment, right? The sacrifice of His body. The sacrifice of who He was for all of us. Not just words, not just showing who He was, but demonstrating who He was. And with His disciples, He said, this is my body which is broken for you. He said, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And then He took the cup and He said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Remember, new. Not the old stuff, but the new. The transformational. Not surface commitment anymore, but sacrificial commitment. For us, this is the body and the blood of Christ. For us, this is one of the greatest miracles that you could ever possibly experience, that you could ever possibly participate in. And you are participating in this miracle because for us, this is a regenerative miracle over and over and over and over again. Every time we come to it, not just on the first Sunday of every month in an institution called a church, but every time we remember Him, every time we partake of the bread and we drink of the cup, it's a miracle. So Lord, I pray that as we come today, Lord, that we would realize that all the tiny little miracles, boy, they are still plugged into the greatest power in all of the universe. Or when we experience those giant earth-shaking miracles, they are plugged into the same awesome power that is greater than anything in all of the universe. Lord, your sacrifice for us made it real. So Lord, let us learn today that you care about us in every aspect of our life here on earth. As we wake up, as we sleep, as we go to work, as we stay at home, as we play, as we just live in community together. But also, Lord, in the midst of all of that, Lord, that you care about our supernatural. You care about our spiritual life. That in the midst of living our natural life, Lord, the supernatural should just come right alongside of it. There should be nothing that distinguishes one from the other for those of us that are called followers of Jesus Christ. It's one life. And Lord, in that one life, Lord, my prayer today is that we would dive deep and that our surface commitment would become a sacrificial commitment to you. Lord, that we would learn it for all the days of our lives. Not just today and not just tomorrow, but when we're 11 years old, when we're 20, 30, 40, when we're 55 and 75 and 85, or when we're in our 90s, or that every breath we take, we would realize is a miraculous gift from you. Let us live it in Jesus' name. Amen. Those that are serving communion, if you'd come up and I'll serve you first. And then for everybody else, this is an open table. It's not a Pastor Matt table. It's not a Southwest table. It's the Lord's table. Everybody's welcome. As we come, I want us to join together in the Lord's Prayer and just join our voices.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.